I am from Alabama, but I actually moved to Cleveland 3 years ago, and now I'm about to move away from Cleveland. my family moved to Cleveland. I'm a part of OCI Ministries. I've had the privilege of working for Dr. T.L. Lowry, and now I work for Perry Stone, and now I don't know what the next step is, but I'm stepping out in faith as of July 21st, so I'm going to go with my family to pastor a church in Fayetteville, Tennessee. We believe that God's calling us there for a time of revival because we believe that we're about to be a part of the end-time outpouring that all of us are about to be a part of. You know, he says he'll pour his spirit out on the sons and daughters. I don't believe that that means that you have to be below the age of 30. I believe that means from birth until eternity. I believe that you're a part of this generation and that he wants to pour his spirit out on you. Just to give you guys a little bit of background of who I am, I was saved whenever I was 5. I was filled with the Holy Ghost about 3 months later, speaking in tongues. Growing up, I was always, I guess, the preacher's kid, but I was also the popular girl at school. You know, I had tons of friends. We had what we needed, what we wanted. The Lord really blessed us, had the best parents in the world. I was a drug baby, I guess. You know, I was drugged to church every chance you got. You know, prayer meeting, revival, Sunday school. I remember going to prayer meeting, and me and Brittany would get so bored at prayer. We'd be like, Dad, we have school in the morning. Why are we at prayer at 11 o'clock at night? And he would say, have you prayed for your grandma yet? And he would name off everyone in our family. He would name off everybody. So props to my parents for teaching me and Brittany how to pray and fast and read the word. Thanks for that. you know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he or she should go, and they will never depart from it. So it's really great you guys are all here. That's awesome. You guys being in the anointing, being in the glory, your lives will never be the same. Whenever I was 16, I was trying to decide what I wanted to do, if I wanted to serve the Lord or if I wanted to live in the world. Because my friends, they started smoking pot and stepping into sexual immorality, drinking, you know, all the things that the world does. So I had a choice, you know, I got to choose. Do I want to follow this track or do I want to pursue what my parents have raised me to believe is true? So I was really indecisive, to be honest. So we came up here to Cleveland. It was OCI, but it actually was not even called OCI yet. It was called The Extreme. And they had a conference. It was called Confluence. And there was maybe 75 people there, and there was no chairs, barely. There was chairs for the older people, but the rest of us had to sit on the floor the whole 5 hours of the first service and the next day and the next day, and we just, like, kept sitting in the floor, but I was okay with it. So we pull up to this small building. I don't know if you guys were familiar with OCI before we had the big facility the Lord blessed us with. But it was like the smallest building, and Dad said, I promise if it's weird, we won't come back tomorrow. We'll just go shopping. Don't worry about it. So the youth group's laughing, you know, carrying on. So that Friday night, I end up going in there, and I remember to this moment, I was on the left side of the building by these huge speakers that were way too loud. Because the building was so small, you know, we couldn't do anything about it. So the speakers were blaring, and they were singing Just Like Heaven, Heaven on Earth. And I remember putting my hands out, and I was like, God, I give you everything. I give you all of me. I don't want a part of the world. So now I can stand here. This year I'll be 22. I've never tasted alcohol. I've never touched a drug. I've never stepped into sexual immorality. I've never partook of the world. And that's not to glorify me, but it's just to tell you guys that no matter where you might be right now, even you, maybe some of you adults, but I'm gearing toward the kids right now. No matter where you might be right now, maybe you feel like you're trying to fit in at school or you're trying to hang out with a cool crowd because that's what everybody else is doing. But Jesus never said it would be easy. But I promise you it's so worth it to stand here and say, you know what? I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. There's not many girls that can say that. There's not many guys that can say that. But if you set yourself apart and you give yourself fully to him, then you will never regret it. To say that you've never had a drunken night, to say that you've never smoked weed like everybody else is doing, to say that you're set apart, it's so worth it. It's so worth it. So praise Jesus for that. Hallelujah. Okay, so I'm just going to read a quick little piece of scripture here. Judges 6, verse 11. if you guys want to turn there, and I'm going to pray. Jesus, God, I pray that right now that you would come, God, that you would use me, Lord. Let me speak from your spirit, God, not from my own flesh, but from who you are, Lord. God, we welcome you here, and we thank you for what you're about to do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Okay, so Judges 6, verse 11. It says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak of Ophrah that belonged to Joash, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." I actually grabbed the wrong set of notes. Sorry, the Lord kind of just swapped everything on me as I was sitting here. So I was like sitting there writing everything down. So let me just swap out. Yes, this is it. Cool. Okay, so let me, kind of explain. How many of you guys are familiar with the story of Gideon? You guys know the story of Gideon? It's a pretty familiar passage. Most of us know it. But the Lord kind of gave me a new take on it this morning. So everything I had planned, the Lord kind of flipped it around, and then he just added a little bit here right now. But in Judges 6, we see that the Israelites, if you go up to the beginning of the chapter, the Israelites are being plundered by the Midianites. So basically, what's happening is the Midianites are taking over the Israelites. Like, they would plant a crop, the Midianites would come and take it out. They would raise sheep, they would come and steal them. You know, anything that they could finally get a victory, the enemy would come and he would wipe it out. So the Israelites were brought out of captivity from Egypt. So they were in bondage, the Lord set them free, they go through the wilderness, they're in the promised land now. So everything's great, everything's going well. Well, they start compromising a little bit because they start getting fearful, they start getting afraid of what the enemy is doing. So they start putting up idols, they start worshiping all these idols, compromising what they believe. So then we see Gideon, and Gideon's going through everyday life just like we do. You know, I work a job Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. That's my normal thing. I get up, I go to work, I come home, I go to OCI, whatever my day consists of, that's my normal life. So Gideon is working in the wine press, everyday job. And then all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appears to him and says, "You mighty man of valor." So Gideon is sitting there working, you know, normal, whatever. And God speaks to him and says, "You mighty man of valor, I am with you. I am with you." So whenever I read this, "I am with you, you mighty man of valor," I started looking up what valor meant. Let's see if I can even find it. Everything is so backwards now because I just messed with this. Valor means great courage in the midst of fear. So the Israelites, they're really scared. They don't understand what's happening, why they can't get on top of everything. And then to add to this, Gideon says, "Why are you with me? Why are you with me? I'm the least of my tribe. I'm from the poorest tribe in the village." I'm just giving you my context. This is Kalen Baker's version of the Bible. So Gideon's like, "God, why are you saying that you're with me? Sure, you brought my parents and my grandparents out of captivity, and they saw miracles, signs, and wonders. But what about me? Why have you forsook me? You say you're with me, but I've never saw you." And whenever I read this, I really just started thinking about our generation. And I started thinking about how that's what we say to him. We say, "But what about us? Why haven't we seen your glory? Why haven't you showed us miracles, signs, and wonders?" And then it was like the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit. This Gideon has been my heart for probably the past 2 months, but it's been different specks of Gideon throughout the past 2 months. So this is fresh to me this morning, as it is to y'all. So for the past 3, 4, maybe 6 years, I've prayed, "God, show me your glory. Show me miracles, signs, and wonders. Show me so that I can stop reading all these books, so that I can say, you know, let me experience it." So last year I went to India. It was about this time last year, the beginning of August of last year, we go to India. And the first night we're there, and we go to a gypsy village. So all we have is this little speaker and this light, and we're walking through the village after we just drove like 3 hours in this van that's probably for 5 people, but we have like 15 crammed in it. So we're all smushed and just glad to be walking. So I have my backpack, and Pastor Robbie turns and he says, "You're preaching tonight." And I was like, "Oh, I'm going to preach tonight. Okay, I'm not prepared. We've been on a plane ride for 23 hours. We were at the hotel for just a few hours, and now we're going to go preach to these gypsies that have never heard about Jesus. They're Hindus, so they believe in everything. I mean, everything. I mean, this ring could be a god to them. Anything that you can put in front of them is a god." So I'm like, "Okay, Holy Spirit, you have got to lead me." And honestly, I've been raised in church my whole life, but being around church people, they know the Bible. You don't have to say, "Well, in the beginning, God, there was God." You don't have to explain those things to them. So I start explaining and exhorting on who God is and what he can do. And I start saying, you know, "Jesus can heal you. He can come. He can touch you." And I'm speaking in faith, believing in all these things I've always heard about. You know, just like Gideon, "I've heard about all these things, but where are you?" So this lady comes up to me after I'm done preaching, after the altar call's over. A ton of them ended up getting saved, but I didn't feel like my job was done. So I started handing out the chicken and rice, and this lady comes up to me, and she has whites around her eyes, and she's blind. The interpreter had to tell me she was blind because I didn't know what was happening. So I put my hands over her eyes, and in faith, doing only what I had been told, you know, I had never done this myself, I said, "Jesus, I just told this lady that if she would accept you, then you would heal them. And whenever I remove my hands from her eyes, God, that you were going to heal her." So I moved my hands from her eyes, and I watched the whites from her eyes just disappear all the way around and all the way through. And that's, again, that's nothing to glorify myself, because it's all him. I can't do that. So Gideon is standing there, probably like most of you guys are. "God, I've heard these things. Miss Dana teaches us these things, but why haven't I saw it? Why haven't I saw these things?" So the Holy Spirit told me that night, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you. And whenever I begin to read this about Gideon, you see that he needed like 400 confirmations, basically. And that's the same way I am. If the Lord tells me to do something, I'm like, "Okay, confirm it, write it on the wall, make it plain as day." So Gideon says, "Okay, God, if you want me to go and defeat these Midianites by myself, if you're saying that the God that my ancestors saw wants to use me, Gideon, the least of this tribe, the one that is not, he's not qualified at all, he's not good enough in man's standard, if you want to use me, then I'm going to lay down a piece of wool, and if everything around it gets wet but it's completely dry, then I'll do it." So he goes to sleep, and he wakes up, and he checks it, and the wool is completely dry. So then he's like, "Okay, God, well, this time I'm going to lay down the wool, and the wool's got to get wet, and everything around it has to be dry." So he lays down the wool, and sure enough, the next morning he wakes up, the wool is completely wet, and all the ground around it is completely dry. So you'd think that'd be enough confirmation. You guys see it here in spring or in fall. You walk outside getting ready to go to school or work, and the ground is just dew everywhere. So I just picture myself going out there and laying a blanket out and saying, "Okay, God, everything else has to be wet, and this has to be dry." And more than likely, that's not going to happen. But for Gideon, God did it. God showed him, you know, that his spirit was in him, and he wanted to use Gideon to defeat these Midianites. So then in the night, Gideon actually gets some of his friends, and they go up to the altar bell that actually his dad built, and they tear it down. They say, "You know what? We're not going to serve these idols anymore. We're not going to pursue these things, but we're going to pursue God, because we're going to defeat these Midianites." So they go, they tear down the altar bell because he was fearful of what would happen in the day. So they tear it down, you know. Okay, they go to sleep. The whole crowd, the whole town just makes a ruckus. So Gideon's dad, Joash, comes out there and he says, "You know what? If Baal is God, then let Baal show himself." So needless to say, Baal never shows himself. And all these men, I believe it was like 32,000, show up to go and defeat these Midianites. But Gideon is still scared to death. He's not believing in himself. He's thinking, I'm not worth it. I'm worthless. I'm not good enough. So all these men come, and then the Holy Spirit, I think Holy Spirit was definitely there. Holy Spirit speaks to Gideon and says, some of these men are fearful, and they need to go back. And Gideon's like, what? No way. You know, the other armies, they have so many more than us. They have so many more people, and they can definitely defeat us. So Gideon says, if you're afraid, then go back home. So 22,000 men end up leaving and just going back home because they're afraid. So then the Lord says, okay, take all of them down to the river because there's still some that need to go. Some of them haven't realized that I'm with you and they're still afraid. So he takes them down to the river. And this is kind of cool. I'm pretty sure Jesus was laughing at this because he tells them that if they get down on all fours and they start drinking like a dog with their tongue, you know, as you see your dogs drink out of the bowl, then they have to go home. But if they grab it in their hand and they drink it as if we would, then they can stay. So needless to say, only 300 of them drank it the way they were supposed to drink. So then Gideon, I'm trying to make a really long story short, but it's really hard. So then Gideon gets all the men, they gather together and they make their plan. And he hears this man in the Midianites' camp telling a dream to his friend. And he's saying, you know, I saw this bread come through the camp and it destroyed everything. And then the man interprets it and he said, it's Gideon. And right then, as soon as he recognized the anointing was on the inside of him, Gideon got a boldness, and he realized that God was with him. And you see, that's what we as our generation that we lack. You see, we're so fearful and we're afraid that if we step out and if we go into our school or our workplace, if we bring forth his word, that nothing's going to happen. But his spirit lives in you, you guys. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus was in the grave, in the tomb for 3 days. And the same spirit that was in him raised him from the dead. The same spirit when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. The same spirit is within you guys. So no matter where we go, no matter what we do, you know, the opposite of fear is courage. And I believe that he's called us to be courageous, to be mighty warriors. Some other cool things. I really just want to build y'all's faith tonight because I remember, I know I'm kind of looking at them a lot. My heart's just really right here, so I'm really sorry. One thing that I remember being in school and it being really hard because everybody else was going with the flow, listening to what they wanted to listen to, doing what they wanted to do. But once you experience him on a personal level, once you experience God on a personal level, then you never want to go back. And it's just like in a marriage, okay? If you don't communicate, then the marriage doesn't work. And it's the same way with God. If we don't communicate with God on a daily basis, then there's no relationship there. There's no relationship with you and him. You can say, yes, I'm saved. Sure, you probably are saved. But there's so much more than just being saved. There's so much more than just being filled with the Holy Spirit. Those things are so important and so vital, but there's so much more to the Father's heart for you guys. I flew out to Los Angeles to Azusa Now, and from what I understand, some of you guys watched that. It was a really cool day. I ended up getting, like, backstage passes, so I got to go down to the front and worship, and it was literally the Lord all day. My whole trip got paid for. It was great. But as Gideon said, you know, like, I haven't seen any of these things, but we're seeing these things, and he's chosen all of us to be born for such a time as this, because I watched a lady come in that morning that had been paralyzed for 27 years. She sat in that chair. She didn't move. She couldn't do life like we do life. She couldn't walk through her kitchen. She probably couldn't even go to the bathroom herself, things that we take for granted. She sat there in that chair, that wheelchair, for 27 years, and I heard her say, I was standing from me to her, this lady in the wheelchair, and she said, I believe that today that God's going to heal me. And I was like, okay, Jesus, you know, you know, Lord, you've got to heal this lady. She's came to California to be healed. So I watched a few people my age, younger than me, older than me. They all surround her and they start praying. And I forget about it because they start, Brian and Katie Torwall get up there and they start singing when you walk into the room. So I'm just in a wreck worshiping the Lord. So next thing I know, I look over, and this lady is running beside me, completely taken off running. So I just start weeping. I couldn't even get a picture of her. I just have a picture of, like, her in the chair and then her without the chair. So that's one of the miracles I saw. And then there was a man sitting in front of me, and he didn't speak English. He was Hispanic. And so I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't understand what he was saying. And so he sat there all day. I mean, like, he didn't get up, and, like, the Holy Ghost was moving, and everybody was, like, throwing everything in the air, and he was just sitting there. And I was like, man, this guy has some problems. Why is he not worshiping? He's right down here at the front. You know, like, the glory was so thick. We were all into it. And I was like, okay, well, you know, do your thing, whatever, however you want to worship the Lord. And all of a sudden, they get up there, Bethel gets up there, and they start singing King of My Heart. And there's a part of the song that says, you're never going to let me down. And so all of a sudden, I see this man that had been sitting there all day just jump up and start screaming. And I'm like, oh, wow, like, this song moved him. I'm so excited this man got up, because I've been watching him for, like, the whole 15 hours. So then I see his whole family surround him, and some guys from the Bethel School of Ministry come and surround him. And so they start explaining what's happening, and I can't hear. So all of a sudden I see them go on stage, and this man has his granddaughter interpret because he can't speak English. But he's barely been able to move since December. There was a tumor in his on his brain. He couldn't barely speak. He had forgotten all English he had ever learned. He could barely move, and he was in so much pain, and they had said, you know, you're going to die. If nothing happens, you're going to die. So he came there to Azusa Now, and he was completely healed. Completely healed. He stood up there. He jumped around. They even put the MRIs up on the internet where we could see, you know, tumor before, tumor after. So as Gideon said, where are you? Why have you forsaken us? Why have you left us here? I believe that maybe that's our generation, that we're going forth and we're looking for God. We're saying, God, where are you? But he's saying, I'm here. I'm here. All you have to do is create a relationship with me. So you guys, this year, as you begin to go into school, I work with the youth at my church every day. I'm with them every day. And I've watched God transform their life. To where now, instead of us going to the bowling alley, they want to have a prayer meeting. To where now, instead of us having a girls' night, they want to have a girls' night with prayer. They want to seek him, because there's nothing better than his presence. There's nothing better than his glory. And if you're hungry enough, and if you're thirsty enough, then he wants to use you, but you have to be willing. But I came here tonight just to tell you something simple, that the same Spirit that lived within Jesus lives inside of you. So no matter what you may be going through, maybe it's financially, maybe it's in your marriage, maybe it's in your relationships, no matter what you may be going through, that he is there, and he's going to mend your broken heart, that he's going to move in your family, that he's going to touch you no matter where you might be. He wants to meet you here tonight, my friend. And he wants to show you compassion. He wants to show you the Father's love, because once you encounter the real love of the Father, there's no turning back. There's no turning back when you saw what no eye has seen and no ear has heard. Whenever you can say, I've tasted and I've seen that he is good, there's no turning back, my friend. So tonight he's calling you forth here at Chisui Worship Center. You guys are a hub of revival, and I don't know if you know what that means, but it means that God's calling and he's appointed you for such a time as this, to see the dead raised, to see the blind eyes open, to see the lepers be cleansed, to see the dead raised. That's what he's called you to be, my friend. And if you would say yes, if you would say yes, then he's going to meet you here, and he's going to mend those relationships. He's going to mend those broken places. Oh, God. And it doesn't matter if there's only 50 of you. Because guess what? Jesus and 12 disciples changed the whole course of history. Jesus and his disciples changed everything that we do in life. So you tell me it doesn't matter what you do with your friends, because they shaped the history of this nation and of this world. It matters, my friend. It matters what you're doing outside of this building. It matters what you're partaking of, what you're listening to, what you're watching on your TV, because whatever you allow in comes out. If you allow the glory in, the glory comes out. And when your shadow passes the sick, then they're healed. That's what happens when you seek the glory. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Maybe you feel like you don't fit in. Maybe you're an adult and you feel like you don't fit in here. You don't fit in at all. And you know what? That's something that I struggled with all while growing up. Even though I was popular and I had all the friends, and even now, I mean, even being an adult, I never feel like I fit in. I could be in a room with 100 people that love me with their whole heart, and I never feel like I fit in. But it wasn't until 3 years ago, I have a very good friend, and his name's Rakim. And he said, Jesus, never fit in. What makes you think you should feel like you fit in? Jesus never felt like he belonged with the crowd because he was set apart and he was chosen. And you were chosen and you were set apart because you accepted him into your life. And he never said it would be easy, but it's so worth it. It's so worth it whenever you see things come to pass that you've heard about. You know, I'm sure there's probably been prophetic words spoken over this place time and time again. And maybe you're saying, okay, God, we've been waiting. And we've been waiting, but where are you? Why are you not showing up? Maybe that's something that you struggle with. But I'm telling you, if you will be faithful, if you will be persistent and constant, that his word never goes void. He is faithful to those who diligently seek him. That's scripture. He is faithful to those who diligently seek him. So as a youth group, as a church body, come together. Come together and seek his face. I'm sure you guys are already doing that, but don't allow the worries and the pressures of this world to bog you down, because you guys are called and appointed for such a time as this, just as Esther was, just as Jesus came. For each one of us, and he was crucified on Calvary, he paid a price greater than any of us have ever paid. And it was worth it. It was worth it to him. But we weren't worth it. We were so unworthy. And we were so ugly. And we were filthy rags. But he saw us holy. And he said, you mighty man of valor. You mighty woman of valor of great courage. Go forth. Do not be discouraged. But be courageous. Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever your feet go. Whether you be in Walmart, whether you be in the mall, whether you be in your school, if you're constantly listening to him, that spirit on the inside, the spirit on the inside. A few weeks ago, I took some of my high schoolers to the mall, really quick, and then I'm going to close. I took some of my high schoolers to the mall, and I always embarrass them. It's really great. So I told them, I forgot, we had went to eat dinner or something, and I told them some of the girls could spend the night with me. And so I feel like everybody's kids ended up with me that night for whatever, that always happens. Everybody's kids were with me. And so I said, okay, we have to go to the mall. I feel like I need to go to the mall. And they were like, oh, okay, whatever, we can go to the cookie shop, you know. So I was like, okay, but I'm going to go on a treasure hunt. And so we walk in, they're like, please don't talk to anybody. Don't talk to anybody. Do not embarrass us. I was like, I'm not going to embarrass you guys. So we're walking through the mall, and I spot this group over here, and I'm like, all right, this is on. So I looked at my friend that was with me, and I was like, I'm going to go talk to this group of high schoolers. And she was like, okay, whatever. So I try to talk my kids into coming. They don't come. They go to the cookie shop and get an icy and cookie. So I walk over to this group of kids. There was like five of them. And it ends up I knew one of them. She had came to OCI several times. And I end up talking to them. And there's this one guy. And he's dressed, you know, like in a sweatsuit. And he has his hood up. And he doesn't care. You know, he's bad. So I was like, hey, my name's Caitlin. You know, what's up? What are you guys doing? What are you all up to? What do you like to do? So he says, you know, like trying to be all big and bad and, as my dad calls it, a little punk. He says, I like to go up to the mountains and smoke a blunt. And I was like, okay, that's cool. Okay. And for me, that's a big deal, because used to, I would have been like, you're going to go to hell. But instead, I'm like, okay, the love of Jesus is so real. So I just start talking to him, and we're talking just like this. And I'm like, you know, that's cool, whatever you like to do. And then he's like, do you like to smoke a blunt? And I was like, all right. No, I've never smoked a blunt before. And he was like, how old are you? So I tell him my testimony. And I don't say anything about Jesus. I just say, I've never wanted to do any of that. So then he says, you must be going to heaven. And I said, that's my goal. And he began to cry right there in the middle of the mall. His heart broke. And he said, you don't understand what I go through in my home. That I have to do that because it has to fill this void of pain. It has to fill all the hurt that I go through. So that night, he ended up, without me even asking, he said, will you please pray for me? Because I don't want to go to juvie again. I don't want to smoke a blunt again, but I need something to fill this void. So I told that young boy, 15 years old, who's already slept with multiple women, who's already done almost every drug there is, been in juvenile since he was in middle school, I start telling him about Jesus and the love of Jesus. And he said, why didn't anyone tell me? Why didn't no one tell me? So that's what we're called to do. That's not to exalt me, but the same spirit that lived in Jesus, that still small voice that says, go talk to them. You might not know what to say. I don't ever know what to say. But the Holy Spirit will use you just as he used Gideon to go and defeat the Midianites. The enemy that had been stealing everything from them. The enemy had been taking everything. And maybe your family's falling apart. Maybe your sons and daughters have ran away. Maybe you don't know what's happening. But he's chosen you to show the love of the Father. He's chosen you to defeat them because no matter if you're from the poorest town, no matter if you're from the poorest home, no matter if you have nothing, with him, you have it all. So if you would just stand on your feet with me tonight. Jesus, Jesus. First and foremost, I just want to ask if there's anyone in here who's not saved. You're the most important person in this room. So if you would just slip your hand up. If there's anyone in this room. Oh, Jesus. All right. So tonight I'm going to make another altar call. There's no one in here. If you guys all have peace in your heart, that if Jesus came back right now, that you would ascend the hill of the Lord and you would go with him. If you have peace in your heart, all right. So tonight I want to make an altar call. And I want to ask you if you're ready to give him your all, if you're ready to put your trust in him to be used, because the same spirit that lived in Jesus lives in you and he wants to use you tonight. So if you want to, just make your way up here to the front. If your heart is tugged, if you feel that conviction power of the Father, then I just want to ask you to come and meet me up here. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. God, meet us here, Lord. God, I pray that you would come, Lord. Jesus, here I am. You can have me, God. Here I am, Jesus. God, whatever it looks like, God, whatever it sounds like, Jesus, all for your glory, God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.